Meet Dr. Nadia Afridi, plastic surgeon, recent Columbia MBA grad, and mom, who learned about the most precious asset while at Columbia's executive MBA program. Welcome to the 258th episode of Admissions Straight Talk, Accepted's podcast dedicated to graduate admissions and helping you approach the application process thoughtfully and successfully. I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of this podcast. My mission and passion is to help you show that you both fit in at your target schools and are a standout in the applicant pool. The result? You get a message one day that causes you to jump up and down shouting, "Yes, I'm in!" Not only in, but in at the best program for you. Our guest today, Dr. Nadia Afridi, earned her bachelor's and MD in Canada and then did a residency in plastic surgery at Dalhousie University. She also earned her executive MBA from Columbia in 2017. Nadia, welcome to Admissions Straight Talk.
Hi, thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Now, can you tell us a little bit about your background, where you grew up, what made you decide you wanted to be a doctor?
Sure. Well, I'm born and raised Canadian, as you mentioned, and I am the only child of physicians, both physicians who immigrated to Canada in the 1970s. And so I basically was surrounded by medicine since a very young age and was answering the phone and trying to forward it to the correct doctor when I was like 7 years old. So that was medicine was kind of in the family and in the blood. So that was sort of one of the things that I got strongly exposed to, knew a lot about, felt very comfortable with, and ended up pursuing initially in my career. And did most of my training, as you mentioned, in Canada. I did my plastic surgery residency and then decided I wanted to pursue fellowship training and wanted to work with one of the surgeons here in the United States who I admired. So I ended up moving to Nashville, Tennessee and working for a year there.
Uh-huh.
And then following that, did another fellowship, which was an interesting year for me. I worked with a non-for-profit. And I traveled all over the world doing cleft lip, cleft palate, and burn reconstruction, primarily for children. And it was quite an incredible year.
That's hard work. That's emotionally very difficult work.
It is, but it's so satisfying to see the ability to help someone so tangibly.
Yeah, for sure. Now, you did your undergrad in medical education, as you just said, including residency in plastic surgery in Canada. You then did 1 year of subspecialty training in the U.S., focusing on reconstructive and aesthetic breast surgery. You're now, as we mentioned before, a member of the American Society of Plastic Surgeons and an associate fellow of the American College of Surgeons. Was it hard professionally to move to the U.S. from Canada? This is a question I get constantly.
I would say compared to probably what many people who immigrate to the United States go through, it was, I imagine, relatively easy. Almost all of my education was already recognized when I came south of the border. So it wasn't like my MD was not recognized by the American bodies that recognize training, in addition to which my residency was also recognized training. So I didn't have to redo any training, which is helpful. Nonetheless, you know, I think any time that you make a major move to a new place where you don't have an established network and as a physician, therefore, probably wouldn't have a referral base of friends, family, and former colleagues or classmates who could kind of get you busy initially, it was somewhat challenging, but doable.
Right. So it was more the kind of the practical, almost business aspects of it that were challenging as opposed to regulatory or anything like that.
True, exactly. Regulatory and educational wise, it wasn't so difficult. But trying to actually set up shop, and of course, I ended up marrying a New Yorker and having to establish my base here in New York City, which, you know, is definitely a tough place to set yourself up. So that was another challenge, is working in a highly competitive and complex part of the United States, which is good old New York City.
Yes. What was for you the hardest part of your medical education? I mean, obviously you knew a lot about medicines, having grown up with both parents being doctors, but was there any part that was particularly difficult?
I think looking back now, what I find the most challenging is the fact that you have to spend so much time before you actually become even remotely employable. And that's a bit daunting. And I know a lot of people, when they think about medicine, they get kind of overwhelmed by the length of the path that's ahead of you.
Right.
But, you know, I think the most important thing is to kind of do it bit by bit. And it was just, I never really thought of it that way when I started, which is probably a good thing. It was more so, okay, undergraduate, got to get good grades, try and get admission into medical school. Once you're in medical school, you do your 4 years and you kind of, you know, it's all staged in a way that you start with more classroom work and then you start progressing into the clinical environment and having more hands-on experience. I think one of the hardest parts is choosing what profession within medicine you want to pursue or which specialty.
Right.
And then, of course, being able to get into it if you choose something that is challenging.
Right, for sure. Now, let's turn to your experience as an executive MBA student, an MBA student. Why did you want to add MBA to your MD, especially since you also had a certain frustration with just the sheer educational requirements of the MD or the longevity of those requirements?
I think I had by that point become a professional student.
Right.
I was like, this is no, but actually one of the jokes I did actually make was that I married a doctor. My parents are both doctors. At that point, it was time to diversify our professional portfolio.
that's an MBA talking.
Exactly. But in all honesty, I think what happened was I had been in practice for a while here in New York. I had established my own business. It was going relatively well. I had reached, in some ways, a professional plateau.
Mm-hmm.
And I was yearning for something new and challenging. And I felt like I was ready to expose myself to something completely different from medicine. And knowing that there was such an amazing institution in my backyard, I decided I would try and see if I would be able to meet the standards of getting admission into the MBA at Columbia.
So did you have a specific idea in mind as to how you wanted to use it? Did you see yourself using it to run your practice, to go into different directions potentially?
Absolutely. I knew for sure that I would probably be able to extract a return on investment just from streamlining the way I run my business, possibly expanding my practice space and looking at ancillary opportunities for revenue. But further to that, I also thought long-term that at some point, maybe not right this moment, but in another 10 years or so, whenever it's time, I'll be ready to move on to a different phase of my career. And the skills and the contacts, the network, and the education that I would have acquired through my MBA will serve me well at that point.
Okay. Now, Columbia offers three New York-based MBA options, the MBA New York Saturday, MBA New York Friday Saturday, and MBA Americans. Which option did you choose and why?
So I chose the Friday-Saturday program.
Mm-hmm.
And to be frank, I probably wouldn't have done the MBA had it not been for the availability of the Friday-Saturday option. The mm-hmm. way that's structured is that you, every second weekend, you go to school all day Friday and all day Saturday. And of course, there's a couple of block weeks in that process, and there are other potential things that you have to attend or homework you have to do in between. But the critical thing was that you had to be able to be there every second Friday and Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And what I liked about that was I knew that obviously I'm going to have to compromise in my dedication or my availability to other aspects of my life, both my family and my profession. And I thought with the Friday-Saturday program, I was giving a little from each side. So if I did a Saturday program only, I would definitely be compromising my time with my family.
Mm-hmm.
And if I was doing anything where I was missing a lot of work, that would have been hard for me professionally.
Mm-hmm.
So this sort of was a good compromise option that afforded me to take a little from each of those segments of my life,
mm-hmm.
But not to compromise wholly on any of them.
And how long is the Friday-Saturday option? How many months? Over how many months
it's
does it run?
20, it's 20 months. So it starts in like August, September of the 1 year, and then you graduate a year, 2 May's later.
Right. Now, you mentioned your family, and when this show airs, Mother's Day is going to be right around the corner. May I ask how many kids you have and what are their ages?
I have three kids. The oldest one is now, she just turned 12 in March, and my twins are about to turn 7 on May 5th.
Nice, really nice. You sound like a pretty busy person. Not a lot of zone out time there in that schedule. Getting back to the MBA application process, what did you find most difficult in that process? Or did you find anything difficult about it?
No, I mean, it was, first of all, having to write the GMAT, which I recently learned is no longer a requirement for the MBA program. There are alternative options. So the year that I applied, I had to write the GMAT, which was okay. I think it was all right to go back to standardized testing, but it was certainly, you know, it forced my brain to have to change back into a different mode. And I tried to study, but it's tough to find the time to study as much as probably would be good. And the other thing that I found with regards to the application process was the essays are really, they're challenging, but they're also very helpful and enlightening because they force you to have to sit there and take in a personal inventory of what you've done and what you hope to do and kind of force your hand to analyze your successes, your, you know, where you've gone astray and where you want to go in the future. It was really kind of, it was tough, but it was empowering.
The taking stock kind of moment.
Exactly.
Well, I frequently say that the MBA is a bit a bridge between where you're at and where you want to go.
That's so true. And it can take you anywhere.
Yeah. But what's the saying? If you don't know where you're going, you can get there in any way possible. And the MBA, for all its flexibility, still is taking you in a specific direction. Obviously, you're not going to become a physician by getting an MBA.
Sure.
You know,
well,
no, so.
I think it's a good adjunct to anything that you've already established.
Mm-hmm.
For yourself.
Okay.
So. Right. Anything I do in the future, even with my MBA, will almost 95%, if not 100, be in some ways related to healthcare.
Right. What did you like best about Columbia's program?
Columbia is an amazing institution. It is an amazing reputation. There's the prestige associated with your institution is fantastic. And that relates primarily to the fact that, one, there's like world-class professors who truly are inspirational and who spend a lot of their effort trying to make sure that we're inspired in the process. And the other thing I think that's most important is that a great institution attracts great candidates. And so your cohort, the people that you go to school with, are, you know, exceptional. And they raise the bar and raise the level of your experience and your education.
It's interesting. Just this morning, somebody called me up who is thinking of going for an MBA program on the West Coast. And we were talking about Wharton and Haas, which are two very fine MBA programs. And he asked me, you know, I could go to this and this MBA program for a fraction of the cost. A much lower ranked MBA program. And he said,
right.
What's the benefit? I mean, why should I go? Why should I pay double the price?
Exactly true. I mean, I know that that's a very relevant question. You could probably even do it online through some institutions.
That was the other thing he said. Yes, exactly what he said.
Right. So, I mean, I think there's the difference between just the core education and then the additional benefits of being in an educational environment surrounded by people who have different backgrounds, different professional and educational experiences, and professors who know how to work and mold and tweak with those things and try and, you know, extract the best quality product from it. And that's just not going to happen online or necessarily as effectively in a smaller institution. It really is about who you go to school with, who your colleagues are, what your cohort is. And that's the network that you create for yourself going forward as well.
That's exactly what I told him. I didn't use your words. I didn't use your words. But that's basically what I told him. I said people who can't get into Haas and Wharton are the ones who go to the lower ranked schools. And that's going to affect the quality of the in-class discussion and the value of your network later.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Could have said it better.
You said it pretty well. I like the way you said it, actually.
Thank you.
And what would you like to have seen be improved in Columbia's MBA program?
That's a tough question. I think might relate to what you had just mentioned, which is it would be nice if it was a little more affordable and a little more accessible from the financial standpoint. You know, these excellent institutions they come at a premium. But beyond that, honestly, there's very little I could say. I truly had an amazing experience.
That's great. Okay, that's wonderful. Now, here's a question that I'm sure everybody is thinking about that's listening, and that is, how on earth did you do all this? How did you manage an almost or full-time practice, the executive MBA program, and three still fairly young children, and with the twins being the younger ones? I mean, they must have been, what, 4 or 5 when you started this?
Yeah, they were. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess there's a lot of different things. For one thing, I chose the Friday Saturday program, which I think allowed me to still have every second weekend with my family. They still had mom, and they kind of still recognized me.
Yeah, you were the ones with the bags under your eyes.
Oh yeah, an older, more tired version of what they remember their mother looking like. But you know, I actually, well, and that segues into what I was going to say, which is I would often find ways to put the kids to bed, and then where normally I might go to sleep not too long thereafter, I would stay up a couple of extra hours and try and take advantage of the quiet time in our home to be able to actually study. So I would find opportunities there. I would find opportunities, in the workday, if there was a break or cancellation of a patient, I would pull out my statistics and start, doing pop quizzes or the practice quizzes to try and prepare for the test. So I would just basically, it was definitely at the back of my mind always to try and find ways and opportunities to study. I think I was a mature student at this point. I mean, I have had all these things in my life that I'd already done. So I certainly found I was very productive with my time. I was effective in the time that I, whatever I applied to the MBA, I was, pretty effective in what I was doing. I was also particular about making sure that I attended all my classes and I was actually there, present, focusing, mm-hmm. paying attention, absorbing everything I could in the classroom, so I wasn't forced to have to relearn anything outside of the class. And I think those things were helpful.
Yeah, I think in our distracted world, just making sure that you're present the first time around will save you time later. I mean, we are so distracted, it's ridiculous.
It's so true, and it's really surprising how true that is. And I think just knowing that you don't have time to waste makes you more productive.
Yeah.
The less time you have that you can be ineffective and inefficient with, the less likely you're going to be inefficient and ineffective.
Are you glad you did the IMBA?
Absolutely. It was a fantastic experience. It opened my eyes to a lot of things in the world that I, didn't know about or have a clue about, being that I was from a medical home and I'd only done a medical education. Learning how the business world works, learning how the people who run this planet think was kind of interesting, and it was enlightening, and it was a lot of fun. So I would definitely 100% do it again if I could.
What are your plans for the future, and now that you have all this leisure time?
Yeah. So I joke and say, that I'm currently working on 3 startups.
Okay, so forget the leisure time.
Joke. That would be my oldest daughter, Layla, and my twins, Mari and Amon. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I've decided at this point in time, since I did, do the MBA and wasn't able to offer them as much time as they needed then, as I would have liked to have then, I'm focusing a little bit on getting them back on track and making sure that they're doing well and they are supported through school. And so that's one of the things that I've kind of currently doing. And then, once I think that I've kind of helped them out and been there and enjoyed my time with them while I can, while they're little, while they're still into me, we'll see where things go. I see potentially some entrepreneurial ventures in the future.
Different kinds of startups. Related.
Exactly. Different kinds of startups. But right now, these 3 need more of my attention, and I think it would be probably unfair to deprive them of my attention, being that I think when you do have a different kind of startup or a business type of startup, it becomes a child as well.
Right. Good point. Do you have any tips for either IMBA or med school applicants?
For med school applicants, I think it's, nose to the grindstone. Be sure that the medicine is the profession that you want to pursue. Make sure you pursue it for the right reasons, that it gives you satisfaction and will be something that will truly make you happy to be a doctor and to help people. I think some people maybe see medicine and don't necessarily pursue the path for absolutely reasons of loving the profession. And I think that can sometimes make for the burnout and the difficulties and the challenges long term. So I would say make sure you love it, make sure it's your passion, and if it's your passion, just put your nose to the grindstone, work really hard, and apply yourself every day, and I think you'll see success. The with regards to MBA or EMBA, I think having some maturity, some professional maturity, some life maturity is very, very helpful. I know some people do it, you know, kind of as a course of action after a couple years being out in the workforce, but I think sometimes having a little more experience in the work environment can be very valuable when you go to business school, because you really do have a lot more to offer in the classroom, and you're able to apply it pretty much instantly to your life. When you leave after the weekend of education, you know that there's ways that you can already apply some of the things you've learned.
Yeah, that is pretty exciting. What would you have liked me to ask you?
So I was thinking it might have been interesting for you to ask me, because I think this is something I pride myself on, is the most valuable lesson that I had through my MBA.
Okay, please. So what is the most valuable lesson you got out of your executive MBA?
So I know that we talk a lot about assets in MBA and how you manage your assets. And one of the things I learned from one of my professors was the importance, or the fact that there's one particular asset that is the most valuable in your life, and that is time. And it's how you manage your time is critical. And it's the one asset that is very finite, limited, and precious. And so from my MBA in particular, I really learned how to focus my time and allocate my time to the things that are important to me, that I value, that I cherish, because that exemplifies what it is that you care about. And so that was one of the things that I, surprisingly, was my best lesson from my MBA.
That is interesting. It was the best lesson. It's an invaluable lesson.
Right. And you don't think about it so much when you think about all these material things in our lives that come and go.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, at the end of the day, they don't last. But, you know, how you spend your time and whether you leave a legacy, and whether that be spending time with your family or spending time on a cause that's important to you, or mentoring and working with people who will be empowered through your help, it doesn't really matter as long as it's an important thing and it's important to you.
Right. And I think also, you know, in terms of what I touched on, you know, about distractions, that's attention is a close relative of time. I think it also is, you know, it's relevant. And that probably was worth the tuition alone. What do you do to maximize your time, to maximize your return on time? Let's put it that way, in MBA speak.
Yeah, great point. Well, I think that you have to constantly take inventory in your mind of what it is that's important. And sometimes those things do get shuffled around.
Mm-hmm.
There's, you know, how am I going to spend today? Because there are these certain tasks that have to get done. And then so you prioritize, which is critical. And as you said, kind of segues into what you were saying as well, which is the allocation and the attentiveness. But, you know, you prioritize constantly, and you sometimes have to change those priorities because you hit a road where there's a block in the road. This isn't going to work. I have to reverse and reconsider. Or all of a sudden there's something with your child that is critical. Okay, well, this is now my higher priority. I have to deal with this. So I think being able to be flexible with still having a big picture goal of what your highest priorities are, and constantly just keeping that in mind, I think that's the best way to make sure that you apply your time effectively and to the things you care about.
It's a great message going into Mother's Day. It's you know, it's one of the ideas I told you I wanted to, because it's a challenge. It's a big challenge, you know, whether you're going for the MBA or you're going for the MD, or, you know, if you're juggling a family and a professional career, professional responsibilities.
It is. It is tough. And I feel like, I mean, I love my family. I love my kids. They are a high priority for me. But I still, and I know this probably, you know, may not work for everyone, but for me, it's also very important that I have certain intellectual and professional activities that stimulate me and make me feel productive in that realm as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I couldn't personally necessarily disconnect myself from any one of those two aspects of my life. I need to kind of have them both and try and find a way to balance them.
Right.
I admire people who can, but it's just, for me, it was, I had to have something professional. I had to have something educational and intellectual that continued going forward.
It was very interesting for me. I have two adult daughters with children, and I also have two married sons with children. The first one to have children was very insistent. She wanted to stay home with her children, and she worked from home. Her sister hated working from home. She had to get out. And my two daughters-in-law, one was home full time and now has a part-time job, and she likes that. She knows she goes in. It was really important to her to have that career. I mean, she didn't have it initially, but she knew she wanted it. So she made sure that she got it ultimately. And she's a nurse by profession. And then the fourth one, our daughter-in-law, is a graphic designer, and she's working from home and doing design from home, and that works for her. And they're all kind of pursuing their own paths in their own way. And again, doing the juggling that you talked about, and trying to manage that most precious of all assets, which is time.
Absolutely. And it's true. It's different for every person. It's all customized.
Right.
And it has to just work for you and satisfy you so that you can be content. Because I think even most importantly, as a parent, you have to be content to be able to manage the tasks that you have as a mother in particular. Mm-hmm. And so it's nice if you can find the satisfaction that you need from other things, as well as be able to apply yourself to your children.
Right. Right. Nadia, I think we're just about finished, and I know you got lots of things to do, and I don't want to take more of that most precious asset. Where can listeners find you online?
I have a website, drafridi.com, drafridi.com, but they can reach out anytime. I think there's a phone number there too if they ever want to leave a message with my staff.
Okay.
If I can be of any help to anyone, I'd be happy to.
All right. Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you very much. Now, thank you very much for being on the show. And thank you much for providing this link. We'll link to Nadia's website as well as other resources related to this podcast from accepted.com/258. That's accepted.com/258. Listener, thank you too for joining Dr. Nadia Afridi and me for Admission Straight Talk's 258th episode. If you find the show worthwhile, I have a favor to ask. Please tell your friends about the podcast. Your doing so helps us spread the word about Admission Straight Talk and also will help your friends get accepted. We have a really good show coming up next week with another mom pursuing executive management education. Her career is different, however. She works for Salesforce. She's in the high tech. And if you listen in, she took a different path towards graduate management education in mid-career. She chose the immersive full-time Sloan Fellows Program. Listen in next week to hear her fascinating story. Thanks again for coming. This is Admission Straight Talk, produced by Accepted, and I'm your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week.
Our theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.